Okay, great. Okay, so that's so these talks by us teachers will be available for you on the syllabus. So good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is John Murray, and I am one of Norman's priests and sit on the board of Everyday Zen. I've practiced with Norman for over 20 years and post his talks on the EDZ website. There's lots and lots and lots of talks up there. So why do we spend so much time studying precepts over and over and over again in our practice? And why are they so important? When we first started taking up this precept class some years back, I thought, I've studied the precepts before. I don't need further instruction in them. I was wrong. For the precepts are alive and ever evolving, just as I am constantly evolving and changing, as all of us are constantly evolving and changing. Each of us, I feel, is unique and bring our own unique Buddha nature and learned truth to the world. Each time we study the precepts, it's fresh and new. And for me, it involves a deeper understanding of myself and my practice. I have come to love the precepts and the clarity they bring that my actions really do matter, always have mattered. And as Jean is teaching us in the fifth of the five remembrances we're studying with Everyday Zen, they really are my only true belongings and are the very ground on which I stand. My sense is that Everyday Zen in particular emphasizes and embraces precept practice. Norman often speaks of how in our Zen practice teachings that all dharmas are empty, the prajna teachings. But rather than this teaching implying nihilism, it's just the opposite. If all dharmas are empty, our actions, our ethical conduct is elevated, and that everything matters. All of our actions have karmic effects far beyond our knowing. I understand this to mean that I need to see myself clearly to my and to own my actions and take full responsibility for them. And when I fail, to ask for forgiveness and recommit myself to living the precepts more fully, with an open heart and with compassion for all beings. For me, this also means self-compassion, because we are human and imperfect, and no one can fully live these ethical ideals. But each day in trying, I like to feel I understand a little more. I grow a little more. I soften a little more. Being a Zen priest for years of practice does not make this any easier. Believe me, we are all in the same boat when it comes to practicing ethical conduct. Over the years, I've been greatly moved by the actions and the way of life of many of our fellow Sangha members. You've helped me to better understand the Dharma and the way of life our precept practice calls me to. In taking our places, Norman says, the practice of ethical conduct can be seen as the pinnacle of the spiritual life, though through it, we express and live what we have learned and what we have become. But each of us has to come to know and own these precepts in their own way. My own version of the precepts sits in front of my zabuton every morning as we sit in zazen. I would suggest you all to try to write the precepts in your own words, to truly own them as your own. For me, they help make sense of this practice of everyday Zen and help soften my heart toward myself and others. So in this sense, I don't see this class as a teaching per se. For only you can learn and own this precepts practice. I like to think of this class as more of a sharing, one by one, of how each of us teachers and each other are humbly working with these precepts at this particular point in time. I have the rest of my life to work on my precepts, as do you. How wonderful and fortunate that we are, that we can share this incredible practice together. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you, John. We'll do a bell between each teacher. Jeffrey, would you like to go next?
There we go. Well, my name is Jeff Bickner, and I am a senior Dharma teacher here at Everyday Zen. I've been practicing for 51 years, and I've taken the precepts many times. First, when I received my first Rakusu in 1982, and then next, when I married my wife, Kobenchino administered the precepts to us. And that was in 40 years ago, almost exactly. Then again, in 2003, when I ordained with Norman as a priest, and then he gave us the precepts again after 20 years of marriage and our anniversary. And then when I received Shiho or transmission from Norman in 2013. So each time I've taken these Bodhisattva vows, they have become deeper and deeper as I try to fulfill the vows of a Bodhisattva. And I'm so happy to share these precepts with you. I think we're going to have a wonderful class. I spent 11 years in monasteries, temples, and 40 years in lay practice. As a layman, I've worn a lot of hats. I was a potter when I came to Zen Center. And then when I left Zen Center and Green Gulch, I became involved with the event industry. I've served on the board of directors of the Live Event Association of San Francisco, and I'm the owner of Bickner Dance Floor Rentals. I have branches, or I had branches, across the country. I'm now retired with one branch in Seattle. I also created a school to teach ceramics to school kids in Sonoma when they took art out of education. And so we opened this up at the community center, and we had 90 students signed up the first day. It was really impressive. I also wear a hat as a designer. I've designed and built my own home here. 2.5-story craftsman style home. And in 2017, I graduated from the master class of the environmental form of Marin. And most of my life, I've been an environmental activist. In all my activities, I've attempted to act in accordance with my Bodhisattva vows. Thank you.
Alan, would you go next, please?
Okay, can you hear me? Why, how can I possibly follow these two? They're so impressive. Well, so I've been doing this practice for a while, and I would say that the precepts and the practice of meditation really helped me to straighten my life out. To I won't say it ended my confusion, but it helped me deal with my confusion, which I still have. But what I would say is that for Buddhist practice, a calm mind is essential. And the precepts help us toward a calm mind and peaceful life by putting to rest many of the issues of how do I live life and how do we meet one another. The precepts for me are guardrails for a peaceful life. And I think at the same time, Buddhist training begins with compassion for the self. As John said, I think very well, it's at that moment when we're about to break the precepts that it's really wonderful to remember the precept. And Suzuki Roshi told us that when you're all sitting in meditation, you're just all like Buddhas, and it's wonderful. And as soon as you come out and start talking, the trouble starts. So what we learn from the precepts is hopefully how to, I'm not going to say stay out of trouble, but how hopefully not to get in quite as much trouble. And then finally, I look forward to renewing my study of the precepts together as we come to know each other. And thank you for allowing me the possibility to be in this group the next months. Thank you.
Michael, would you please go next?
Sure, thank you. Just want to arrange my screen so I can see everybody. Well, thank you everybody for being here. It's a real privilege to be in this setting and to participate with everyone and studying these precepts. I know that we're all mature, really good-hearted people who we wouldn't be here if that weren't the case. And to me, in a way, that's where our precept, that's the takeoff point for our studying the precepts together, is that we have at base pure, honest hearts. And so we're studying this together. I began practicing Buddhism in 1972, 73 at San Francisco Zen Center. I was at Zen Center, each of the three practice places, for a total of about 10 years. I received lay ordination at San Francisco Zen Center, and I think it's historically interesting that in those days there wasn't very much emphasis at SFZC, at least, placed on studying the precepts. I don't even remember the subject coming up, which is, I see Alan nodding. Yes, he remembers that as well. It's interesting that American Zen has kind of developed in this way. Anyway, I was lay ordained there, and then later on in the early 80s, went to medical school and practiced emergency medicine until 2016. Later on, I began practicing sitting with an old friend, San Francisco Zen Center teacher named Steve Weintraub, who's a Dharma brother of, excuse me, Dharma brother of Norman's, a student of Mel Weitzman's, Sojourn Mel Weitzman. And Steve ordained me in 2018. And I continue to have a teaching relationship with him. He has a Thursday evening group that I'm part of. And for the last year, we've been studying the precepts. I've been part of a precept group, a smaller group of people who are going to be lay ordained shortly. We've been studying the precepts together, and we're just coming to the end of our studying of all the precepts, and this is perfect timing to start back around at the beginning of the carousel again. It's like everyone is saying, I think the precept practice rewards, needs continuous study. It's I really think of precept practice as a light that we shine on our lives. It helps us, you know, it's precept practice is continuous with Zazen practice. And it's a way, like Alan said, of helping us have a calm mind so that we can study ourselves and be of benefit to others in the best possible way. So I'll stop right there. And, you know, thank you all for listening. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Michael. Marianne, would you go next, please?
Yes. I'd be happy to go next. Just a moment. I don't like to look at myself so much when I speak, so I had to get onto gallery view. Well, I've been a student of Norman's for 20 years, and I'm one of his ordained priests. And I'm also a student with Chris Fortin up here in Sonoma County in California, where I live. I live in Santa Rosa. But I was thinking about, well, I have a feeling of the whole country, because I was born in Indiana, and then we moved to Connecticut when I was a kid for the first 10 years that I remember. And so I'm really familiar with that landscape. And then we moved back to Indiana, to southern Indiana, to Jeffersonville, and I grew up there until I left for college. I went to college in Ohio, just about 14 miles south of Springfield, Ohio. I'm very familiar with it. I'm a musician, and I bought my first bassoon there after college, in college. So I like Springfield. Anyway, I just think about these places as I think about the precepts and how we all, as an entire nation and entire world, are somehow practicing, trying to have good lives together as we can conceive it. I think I wrote some notes down about precepts in general. And one thing I know is these 16 that we're going to be studying come from Dogen. He formulated them that way. I think prior there were many other versions, but there were lots of precepts and more monastically taken perhaps. But these 16 have come down to us, and we take them, you know, we study them, we take them when we have Jukai or ordination or get married. And I think, you know, people take them for us on our behalf when we die. I think that's so cool. I hope that happens for me, because I need it. My sense of the precepts is that they flow out of each other. So like the first precept, I take refuge in Buddha or in awakening or in the depth of our awakened natures. To me, every single other precept flows from that and is a sort of it gets more and more specific, you know, as you come on. So it says, well, okay, taking refuge in Buddha contains all of it, but then let's be more specific. Okay, Dharma, and then Sangha, and then and on out like that. And I think you'll maybe get a sense of that as we study them. And that's important to me. That, I don't know, it just makes me joyful. And then I think of these precepts not as rules, but as like a vision of the fruit of what a life of practice and a life of vow looks like. It looks like not wishing to kill, but wishing to nurture life. It looks like, you know, not speaking ill of others. I mean, that's, you're going to be happier if you live a life in this way. And these precepts say this is what it looks like. So along with that, so I don't have to beat myself up when I don't manage it, but I'm trying to work toward that vision of a happy life. I also think it's important to take the precepts inwardly about ourselves as well as outwardly. So thinking of killing, there's outer killing, but there's inward killing of parts of ourselves or thoughts or just our talents or different things. So I think on all of the precepts, I try to look at them from both an inner outer view. I think the precepts also are affirmations of our, basically of understanding that there is no separate self, that we're all interconnected. We're empty of separate self. In my notes, I said, oh, it's good to read or chant the precepts regularly or memorize a version so that it becomes alive inside. And then from there, it maybe gets easier to make your own versions, as John was suggesting. And I agree with John that, you know, practicing the precepts, it goes on and on forever as we, maybe as our hearts, our understanding opens more, the precepts open more to us, perhaps, as we need them. I think they come to us and show us, I don't know what they have to show, as we grow into them. The last thing I wanted to say in this little bit of time is that my vow now, as we're studying these, is to study and open my heart to the precepts as newly as I can. Because sometimes, you know, it can get like, oh yeah, it's the precepts again. Oh yeah, we're doing this. But to allow my heart and mind to open as much as possible in this exploration that we do together. So I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Steve, would you please go next?
I'll be happy to. So here, I'm like Marianne. I don't want to stare at myself, so let me change my screen. There we go. So I'm really excited about being part of this class and studying the precepts with all of you. I think it's going to be very rich. About 30 years ago, I was on a retreat led by Thich Nhat Hanh. Every day he gave Dharma talks, and much of what he talked about were precepts. He called them mindfulness trainings. This was the first time I heard Buddhist precepts. And I felt really resistant and disappointed that he was talking about them. The reason I was uncomfortable was unconsciously, I was equating them with the Ten Commandments that I learned in Sunday school. I grew up Jewish and learned to fear God in an unhealthy way. If we were to break any of the commandments, we'd be severely punished by God. It was a punitive and intimidating image. The way we learn about and practice the Bodhisattva precepts is different. I looked up the words commandment and precept in Webster's dictionary, and a commandment is the act or power of commanding. A precept is a principle intended as a general rule of action. In 1995, I went to my first Zen gathering, and it's called Company Time, led by Norman and by Mark Lesser. It was a Buddhist retreat for people in the business world. At the time, we met approximately quarterly, and each time we took on one of the precepts as our theme for the workshop. The first one was not to intoxicate ourselves. So Norman and Mark would give a talk about this precept, and then we'd have discussions. We talked about more subtle ways that we break this precept, and it was clear to me that I had broken it many times. I wasn't abusing any substances anymore, but I would easily get sucked into gossipy conversations, and they were fascinating and entertaining, and they were wrong. I learned that the purpose of learning and practicing the precepts is to help us avoid causing suffering for others and ourselves. The only punishment when we make a mistake is we feel remorse. And Norman says it's good to feel remorse, that it helps us avoid this kind of harmful action in the future and motivates us to make amends. In 2004, I had my Jukai ceremony with Andrea Jacoby, Bob Andrews, and Bruce Hartsaw. The primary focus is of our receiving the 16 Bodhisattva precepts and our making vows not to break them. Hearing the three of us make these vows together was moving to me, and it was absolutely joyful. It was an inflection point in my practice. The good news is that every time there's an ordination, we get to hear the precepts again and witness the people being ordained, and they're making the vows to keep them. For me, it's always encouraging. As you know, as John said, we're working with the five remembrances in Dharma seminar led by John. And I want to say the fifth one to close my time here. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground on which I stand. I think that would be a good one to say to yourself every morning. Suzuki Roshi says, the precepts are just the way of life. So thank you all.
Thank you, Steve. So my turn. Again, my name is John Evans, and I am a senior priest and teacher here in Everyday Zen. I also lead a group in Point Reyes called the Heart of Compassion Sangha. And as I listen to my beloved friends, I'm aware of how many years and how many sittings we've done together. And I guess I'm also one of those old timer ones since 1978. And I was first practicing with the White Plum Sangha. I was ordained by Maizumi Roshi and Bernie Glassman in 1982. But I had come first to Zen because I was a young woman, 27, and I was in a very difficult job. I worked in television news, and I was sent on the war beat to places like Beirut and El Salvador and Managua. And I first read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and had it with me one day. And I was standing in a field full of people who had been killed in El Salvador. And I had this moment of knowing that I needed help. I needed support. I felt totally unequipped for the gravity of the life that I was experiencing. And so when I first started to study and I read the precepts, I really did just sigh with, oh, thank goodness, because I felt that they were a kind of container, a guiding structure for my life, something that would help me with the kind of conduct that I wanted to practice in my life. I had not grown up with a lot of religion, really gone through a lot of illness in my family, a lot of alcoholism and sorrow, lots of tragedy. So the precepts began to help me find touchstones for how to act. And sometimes even if I didn't feel it was authentic, it felt as if I could turn there, and then I felt authentic when I would read one of them. And I do know that there's no rule or formula that can tell me exactly what to do, and that I don't always get it right, but I rely on them, and I rely on this Sangha and our teacher, Norman, and the teachings that are, as I said earlier, both ancient and contemporary, that really give my life the kind of fullness and wholeheartedness that makes me be inspired and feel real. Helps me to get out of my own self-centered thinking and to serve others if I can, to think about something else where something might be of benefit. So the precepts act with me, help me, act for me sometimes, an awareness that keeps me clear, keeps me centered. It's the best choice I can make. So I started practicing with Norman in 2009. I had met him years before when he and his wife Kathy had come to the community where I was in New York, the Zen community of New York. And I was the sales director of the Grayson Bakery, and he was a bread baker at the time. So I never dreamed that I would study with Norman and that he would be such a fantastic teacher. So I'm very happy to now be part of this and to be part of this with all of you. That's me. So before we ask you all to introduce yourselves,